Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Healing Light Show. This is Reverend Stan, Chuck McDonald, Robert Hager, and Chris Crutchfield. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Fabulous.
We got a crowd here today. We got a whole round table. We're going to be talking about the signs of the times, and we're seeing so many different things happening in our everyday life now. This stuff is actually coming to pass all the time. And there's a lot of people say it ain't, but, you know, it's just plain as day. I mean, you can't deny it anymore. I mean, even churches can't deny it. You know, normal people is freaked out about all these blood moons that's going on, and it's all biblical things that's coming to pass in front of us. And it's kind of unique, and it's kind of, you know, scientific is everything. I mean, what the Lord said is coming to pass. I'm telling you, you know, we're looking for him. We don't know when he's going to come, but we know he is coming. And it's why it's very, very important, you know, to look out for him. And we never know the hour or the time. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to try to play Matthew 24. I was going to read it, but I'm going to go ahead and play it because it sounds a lot better by a movie actor than me. So I'm going to go ahead and play that.
Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple.
Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately.
Tell us, when will these things be?
And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place,
whoever reads, let him understand.
Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Amen, amen. That's an awesome piece of the Word of God right there in Matthew 24. And the Lord really says, you know, always be ready. You know, just when you least expect is when he's going to show up. And a lot of people, a lot of churches, a lot of Christians is going to be very, very disappointed when he just shows up and they're living a worldly life and they just gave up their walk with the Lord and just started, you know, living their old, you know, worldly life, going to the bars and partying and just living worldly. And he says, don't give up your walk. Keep your walk up, because you never know when I'm going to show up. And he ain't going to just, you know, have a TV broadcast that Jesus is coming in 10 minutes. That's not going to happen. He's going to come in a blink of an eye. He's going to come in and get his soul. And we don't know when that's going to happen. That's why we always got to walk our path and always keep our eyes on the Lord. And Robert, what did you get from this, man?
Well, just to go along with what you were talking about right there, you know, it says there that no man, and when you look at the word man there, he's talking about normal men. He's talking about men who are worldly, like you were saying, men who are not focused on the things that Father's focused on. Because, see, Jesus wasn't just an ordinary man. Jesus is saying these things to us, and he says that no man and not even an angel of heaven knows, okay, but Father knows. And you know who Father's revealing it to? He's revealing it to his sons. His sons have the ability to know, comprehend, and understand things about what Father's plans are that normal, worldly, and carnal-minded people do not understand. Jesus is one who knows when he's coming back. He's telling us he's going to split that eastern sky wide open, and he's coming back for his people. Throughout Scripture, we are told that that day, Paul said, is not going to take us as a thief in the night. It's simply because they have been rehearsing for thousands of years the plan of redemption and how it's supposed to take place. The Scripture that we just heard him read about the trumpets blowing, that right there represents the Feast of Trumpets. With the loud trump, he is going to come. He's going to split that eastern sky wide open. And those of us who are sons of God, letting the Son be revealed in us, like Paul said over in Galatians chapter 1, he said the Son is being revealed in him. Those of us who are letting the Son be revealed in us, Father's communicating with us. And he, because we are focused on doing what pleases him, because we are so focused on knowing his heart and living the demonstration of what a son looks like, Father's going to reveal those things to us. It's not going to be a mystery to us. It's not going to take us by surprise. We are going to be so prepared because we are about our Father's business doing what we're supposed to be doing. And that's living the demonstration that Father created sons to live. So right here, I'm seeing that we, the sons of God, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God. John chapter 1, verse 12, for as many as believe on him, to them gave he power to be sons of God. Sons of God will have the ability to focus and know things about what Father is doing that nobody else on the face of this earth will know. He is revealing himself to us so that he might live his life through us. And that right there, I believe, is what Jesus is really trying to let us know. The angels don't know this, and carnal-minded people won't know this, but those of us who are hooked into the Father like we're supposed to be, he's going to reveal that to us. He desires that there be nothing mystery. Amen?
Amen. Chuck, what do you get from this, man?
Well, I started thinking about it earlier today. I'm not much of an end time of this, like I don't understand the whole thing, but something God was impressing on me, and I just want to put a little twist exactly on what Robert was saying, but I want to use a little different lingo instead of son is bride. And, you know, if you read 2 Peter 3, Peter starts talking about the end times and stuff that Jesus told him. And then down around verse 14, he was talking about, you know, be looking forward to these things. Be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And then you go to Revelation 19, 7, something like that. It talks about the bride made herself ready. I'm going to put a little twist on it in that a lot of times, especially in Southern culture, Southern church culture, we get into the how bad the world's getting as to when Jesus is going to come back. I've, over the past couple of years, changed my theology on that, and I really believe the trigger point to the return is going to be how beautiful the bride becomes. And let me tell you why I say that. It's because I have been blessed over the last year, a little over a year, to run with the body of Christ, not churches. Now, I don't say that knocking churches or stuff like that, but I've seen the body of Christ, especially with like Mike Thornton in his tent, man. I can sit down and tell you stories for hours where he set up his tent, Goldsboro, North Carolina. 30 pastors locked arms for 7 days, 24 hours of nonstop worship. They laid down their denomination, their gender, their color. They set all that to the side and said, let's change our city. And that's the body of Christ making itself beautiful, just waiting on the bridegroom to come. So I really think the trigger mark going on in these last days, I know, I believe, and I 100% believe in the blood moons and the stuff going on in the atmosphere, in the universe, and the stuff going on in the world. Those are all things that Jesus was predicting. But I hinge into what Peter said in 2 Peter 3, where it says, you know, be spotless, be blameless, and be looking. And that's the bride making herself beautiful. Because, you know, Jesus is not going to come back for a floozy. He's going to come back for a bride that is beautiful. She's spotless. She's without wrinkle. And she's worth marrying. That's what Jesus is worthy of. And I really see it happening in the earth. It is a sign happening in the earth right now. I run with people across the board that come from different denominational backgrounds, different ethnicities, different genders, but they are all just hungry to be sons of God, and they're actually doing it in the earth. And they're kind of running underground right now. These are people you're not going to see on TV, may not even hear on radio, but, man, they are doing it. They are living it. They're passionate. They're consecrated. They're making themselves ready for the kingdom return. So that's kind of along the line. If you put my side together and Robert's side together, I think you'll get a pretty good picture about what's to happen.
Uh-huh. Hey, Chuck, one thing that's supporting what you're just saying, and I know this is talked about a lot, like when you talk about like signs of times and stuff, but it really supports what you're talking about. It's Joel 2:28-32. It says, and that shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and I will show signs in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of that the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said. And among the survivors there shall be those whom the Lord calls. That's pretty cool to me, because this is really like supporting the pouring out of the Spirit and the unity and the signs. And I mean, like, how many blood moons have we seen this year? I mean, it's like,
seems like every other month or something.
Two last year, and there's two this year.
Yeah.
There's four blood moons. We had two last year, Passover and Feast of Tabernacles, and again this past Easter. Passover.
I mean, I ain't really trying to build, like, fear or anything, but the fear of the Lord's a good thing. And I think that, but, you know, it's just everywhere you look around, there's stuff happening. Like, what you just read, talking about, like, the earthquakes and various places and stuff like that in Matthew 24, and Luke 21:11 says there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence, and there will be terrors and great signs in the heavens. So, I mean, like, a lot of that stuff there. The other day or something, I was reading about, like, seven active volcanoes that are all active right now. Like, that's pretty crazy when you think about some of this stuff. Because
They said the Ring of Fire, which is in the Pacific Ocean, actually moves continents back and forth, is activated, and they're all active. All the volcanoes in the Ring of Fire is active. So that's indication that stuff is going to move. Landmass is going to move one way or the other, so we just ain't saw it happen yet.
Yeah, but like as far as some of that stuff goes, like I think it's Acts. Somewhere in Acts it says something about nobody knows but the Father the coming of that day. Or is that the Father's authority and not even the Son knows and not even the angels. But that's really cool on his return. But we do know when it's near, and we can definitely see like the effects of the earth and the church.
And if I can say right there, you know the reason why no man can say the hour. because it's a different hour in all places around the world. That's why no man can say the hour. It's something that simple. It's 7, 8:30 here, but in Alabama it's, 7:30? And Colorado it's 6:30, and California it's 5:30. Yeah. So that's why no man can say the hour. And these things are simpler than what we've made them out to be. Father wants there to be no mystery to his people, to his son. He reveals these things to his and through his son so that his sons can do what they're supposed to be doing. So when he comes, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is living as sons, living Father's reflection, living Father's image, doing the things that they see the Father do, drawing people unto the Father. That's what Jesus did every day of his life. And one of the things that we really need to focus on here, I believe, is down here in verse 37, where it says, but as the days of Noah were, what was going on? Everybody was going about life, sarah, it's just another day, a beautiful day in the neighborhood for some, and for some, you know, it was, thank God it's Friday, they was ready to quit for the weekend. You know, everybody was going through life, going through the motions, doing what they always do, not caring that for over 100 years, Noah preached that it's going to rain. This is what's happening. That's what's happening today. We're preaching, guys, it's going to rain, the door's shutting. You've got to get your eyes focused on Jesus so that you can be about your Father's business like he was. He was the sample, example son sent by the Father to show us how to live as sons. So here in this last day, that's what sons are going to be doing when the Lord returns. And in this last day, you just read that scripture, Chris, about out of Joel, which was talking about on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out then, which was the beginning of the last day. That was the very beginning at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Shavuot is coming up in two or three weeks, the Feast of Pentecost, which was the 50th day after the ascension of Christ, after his resurrection. He walked through the earth for 40 years. 10 days later, after he ascended, the Holy Spirit was poured out, which began the last day. And here we are over 2,000 years later at the end of the last days, and the last outpouring, the latter rain, is going to be, the last outpouring is going to be a mixture of the first outpouring, which was the day of Pentecost, and Azusa Street, 1900, California. That combined is getting ready to happen now and is happening now as you and me and everybody else so in love with God is proclaiming the Spirit is in what we're saying. The Holy Spirit is being poured out of sons of God's mouth and causing people to come to him because the Spirit is so powerful in this last day. All around the world, people are preaching Jesus like never before. You can see it. Turn on any minister's program today and watch what God's doing all around the world. Because the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out upon
Amen.
All
Amen. Amen.
That's awesome.
And you know, in the Old Testament, only priests and kings and people were anointed and, you know, special tasks. I mean, not tasks, but like destinies or whatever, like Samuel, some of those people were, you know, they had the Spirit, were baptized in the Spirit and poured out or anointed in the Spirit or whatever, but now it's for every believer, you know.
Amen.
That's cool.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
back in those days they didn't actually have the Spirit within them. They had it poured on them, and a lot of times it lasted for a certain amount of time. Or it just, you know, it would come and go. It would come and go at times. But now,
right,
since the Holy Spirit is freely given to us, he comes and lives within inside of us. And he lives inside us forever and established inside of us. He brought his kingdom, built his house inside of us. He's within us every day. But the thing of it is, a lot of us don't know how to use it. We have no way or understanding how to access it. But it's right there in the Word of God. It teaches us. It shows us. But a lot of us has actually designed walls around the Holy Spirit inside of us and keeps us from using it because we're told all that. That happened back 2,000 years ago. That don't happen anymore, oh, that's the devil's work. You don't want to do stuff like that. Or, all these walls that the spirit of religion has built around us to keep us trapped in the body of Christ and keep the body of Christ from doing any effectiveness towards the kingdom of darkness. See, the kingdom of darkness does that to keep us trapped where we won't do anything. But once them walls are broke, and they're broke, and we're effective, and then they're in trouble.
Yes, that's right.
And then they're in trouble, and that's what we're doing now. That the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, is slowly breaking out the walls, and we're coming effective in the streets, in the churches, in the schools, in the malls. In the highways, in the byways, we're everywhere.
Come on.
On the job, we ain't gonna be stopped. I mean, we're gonna be like dynamite release. And you talking about the latter rain. I was noticing at some of these events, people have been noticing invisible rain hitting them. They're feeling. We felt that in our own house. When people would pray, it felt like invisible rain hit you. Like you're trying to figure out where it's coming from. It's a latter rain. We're all a part of the latter rain that Christ is bringing across this earth. We're all bringing this to be. The sons of God is manifesting through His people, and we're manifesting all the time. And we was at I was at Robert's Church Sunday, and we was talking about some of the last day things, and. The Lord was showing me that a lot of people's hearts was being weighed. It was being weighed where you are with Christ. Where are you going to be in the kingdom? He wants to know where you're going to be in the kingdom. He's weighing your heart now, seeing where you're going to be. And the Lord was showing me that you can't fake the Lord. He knows your heart. He can look straight at your heart, and He knows what's going on. You can't put a covering on. You can't put a mask on. He sees right through to your heart. No matter what other people see, no matter what other people tries to mask around you, He sees right to who you really are. And that's what's weighed, is who you truly are. And he's cutting, he's trimming all the parts that we don't need on us. He's trimming it slowly but surely. And then Robert was talking about the brass shoes of Christ. He's coming in slowly. He's coming in slowly and bringing Himself amongst people. He's not coming in with a big bang. He's coming in slowly. And that's the thing. A lot of people's noticing weird dreams at night. They're in situations in their dreams that they've never been. Like they've been in a situation of being robbed or something. And then they're trying to react or they're punching. And God is seeing, what are you going to do? What are you going to do in this situation? What would you do if you're in that situation? And your heart is slowly being weighed. Where are you going to be in the kingdom? Now, we've already made it to the kingdom. We ain't going to be at the final judgment with Satan and all the other people. We're going to be in the kingdom with Christ, and where are we going to be in His kingdom? See, there's two judgments going on there. But we're slowly being weighed, and a lot of people don't believe this, but this is what the Lord put on my heart, and it kind of fell on me. And then what was so funny, Robert, you was like, hey, man, how do you know why I was studying Saturday morning or Sunday morning at 4 o'clock? I was, well, the Holy Spirit's talking to both of us, man, So it was kind of unique how this stuff was going. I'm going to go ahead and hand this over to Robert right quick.
I just wanted to add to what you're saying. Those brass shoes that Jesus is wearing, you can read about that, guys, over in Revelation chapter 1. It says that His feet were of brass. Brass is heavy. And it's just talking about that He is moving slow. The first thing He's focused on is love and saving, salvation. He wants people to get saved. Father's heart is for none to perish, all to come to the knowledge of who they are in Christ Jesus. But here in Revelation chapter 1 and 2, we are learning about churches that are compromising. People are living lives of compromise, and that's what's wrong in the world today. The sonship has been compromised. And here we are focusing on what Father desires for us to do as sons. And that's what we're supposed to be impressing on the hearts of people everywhere, that he has called you to be a son. He called you from your mother's womb to live the revelation of a son. That's what we're supposed to be impressing upon the hearts of people and getting them to recognize that we're all called to be sons. Father's desires for none to perish, all to come to the knowledge of who we were created to be. We were created to be just like Jesus. And he is making sure, okay, I'm giving you some time, guys. You need a little time. Get this thing worked out. Recognize where you're compromising. Get rid of the compromises in your life. Go ahead and nip it in the bud and come on and get focused and do what you're supposed to do. Peter was focused on Jesus when he walked on the water. But the moment he started focusing on natural, carnal, human thoughts, he began to sink. So we have to focus on Jesus. Get the revelation of Jesus Christ. Father sent the Son to show us how to be sons. Get the revelation like John got. John said, whoa, I've seen him as he truly is. That form of Jesus that transforms you from the inside out, that makes you say, bleh, and want to throw up on anything that is contrary to the will of your Father. That's the attitude that we have to have in this last day. That's what he's coming back for. Somebody so in love with God that your heart and your stomach just turns over backwards to get away from anything that is contrary to the will of the Father. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. And the Lord, the Lord just added something to me about that. He said these false prophets are the ones that's going to get you focused towards the worldly things, towards your finances, towards love, and towards this. He's not wanting your focus on that. He wants your focus on him at this time. He wants you to keep your eyes on the prize. He wants you to keep your eyes on him. Not nothing else. Love your family, love your friends and that stuff, but mostly keep your eyes and your focus on him. It's very crucial now to keep your eyes on him. Not on, if you see prophets talking about, well, you need to worry about your finances and you need to worry about this, don't pay those people no attention. Pay attention to the ones that's focusing on Jesus, that's focusing on the Lord, focusing on him. He wants your eyes on him. He wants you to manifest him. And the only way you can manifest him is keep your eyes on him. Keep your mind on him. Keep your mind in the Word talking about him. Keep your mind in the Gospels. The Gospels. Keep your mind in the Gospels, the walking, the talking. Keep your mind on him, not on your love life, not on your this and on your that, but on him at this time. Now, in the past, that was fine, but now there's no time. Keep your eyes mm-hmm. on him. Focus on him, what you need to do, what you need to walk out. He was the first one that walked this out. You need to look at the first one that walked this out. That's the only way you're going to walk this out, is to follow his footsteps. And if you don't follow his footsteps, you will fall. Follow yeah. his footsteps, hey, and you will be led. Go ahead.
Wow. Hey, can I just share this? This when y'all were reading, or when we did Matthew 24, this kind of was bouncing at me. This one scripture that says, heaven and earth will pass away. It's 35. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And, like, when that was read, it just kind of bounced out at me. My words will by no means pass away. And what I was thinking about is the Word of God, but also, like, the live, living God is constantly speaking. And it's like learning to discern his words and how he speaks. And the more you go after him, because the Bible says, occupy till he comes, you know, uh-huh. and if we're occupying, we're going to be, like, my kind of whole perspective on the end times and is good's going to get real good and bad's going to get real bad. And, like, there's uh-huh. going to be less and less in the middle. But uh-huh. my whole thing is, it's going to pan out. You know, it's all, I kind of know it's going to pan out. And it's going to be just like the Father said it's going to be. And some of that stuff is mysteries and stuff. And some of the understanding of that stuff is poured out in certain seasons, you know. And I really believe that, that God has certain things that he's not going to reveal until the season that is due. Like, there's times and seasons. Like, I know personally that he's told me that he's some of the revelation that he's given me, I don't want you to release this until I give you an okay to. And I know that there's certain times and seasons. And a lot of that sometimes it's got to be, it's going after it and really developing what he's saying. But, like, I know that some of that stuff is really juiced up. And as, I mean, really, if you look around up until about 100 years ago, everybody was still riding horses, you know. So this verse right here that says, learn this lesson from the fig tree. This generation will not pass away. When you see these things beginning to come to pass, this generation will not pass away before the coming of the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's a good point right there. That point what you just read, the fig tree is Israel. Those who see the fig tree become a nation. The generation that sees Israel become a nation shall see the coming of the Lord. That happened in 1948. Israel became a nation, and we are part of the generation that's going to usher in the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Yeah, that's the unique thing. I mean, like you was talking about earlier, Robert, you was liking the sons of God. The sons that's manifesting God, we know, we feel things. We know we have a knowing of what is coming. I mean, we don't know the exact time. We don't know the exact hour, but the Lord uses us as his signs. He uses our mouths to preach. He said, I'll give you the signs as we gave through Noah. Not Noah, but Jonah. Jonah, just a prophet. So I may give you a sign like Jonah. So that's actually talking through the prophet. How many people is saying the Lord is coming? The Lord is on his way. We don't know the time. We don't know the hour, but he's on his way. And the thing of it is, I really feel we need to walk in those shoes. We need to try to walk in those shoes. We need to try to straighten that path. But our problem is that We grab the leisure time. We have ministers, we have pastors, we have, they're always trying to push us towards the leisure time. We need to worry about how much money we're going to send to their church or how many airplanes we're going to buy their congregation or, you know, we need to worry about our finances today because we all want to be millionaires, you know, or we need the car, we need the best of everything. We need the American dream right now, you know. While the world is falling down and the end is coming, but the enemy don't want us to focus our eyes on that. He don't want us to have nothing to do with that. He wants us to follow with him. And and people just can't see that. Their eyes is just completely blinded. And if they keep their mind or keep their eyes on the prize, like I was saying, keep their eyes on the prize, on Christ, they'll be going down that right path. They'll be trying to do the right thing. And that's one of the biggest things. They're like, you know, it's all right. They've been saying this for 2,000 to 3,000 years. You know, things are just gradually going to come. But then when the Lord does show up and the Lord reappears to them, and it's too late. The waiting period is gone. You know, the waiting period is gone. And that's the problem. Everybody is so used to waiting. We're so used to sitting down and waiting for everything, waiting for the vacation, waiting for this. But I think vacation time is about over with, guys.
Yeah.
I think vacation is over with, guys. And, you know, and if you don't believe it, see how far you're going to go with it.
Hey, Hey, one of the points that I was trying to make there was, with out of that scripture, my words will not pass away. You know, by no means will my word pass away, or words pass away. I was just trying to make this point that know the Lord, go after the Lord. You know, because
Amen.
He says, those who seek me will find me. Those who not, the door will be open. And, you know, if he says, if you ask for a fish, I mean, he's not going to give you evil things. He's
That's right.
He's looking to bless you. He's looking to have that relationship like Robert was saying. And man, I really believe that's the purpose of life, is really just knowing him and enjoying him. And like the abundant love just comes. It comes going after him. And I don't know, the more you walk in the alignment and the agreement and go after him, the more you're going to reflect, or you're going to, his love's going to flow through you. The light's going to shine through you. And you're going to be
Amen.
Blessed.
Amen. What's going on, Amen. Chuck? What do you think about all this?
Trying to get my head put back together, man. You guys are going crazy. I love it, though. The one thing I was picking up a little while ago is you've been all over it, Stan. It's Romans 8 where it talks about the earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God.
And come on.
My mind just went to this total different paradigm of when Jesus talked about earthquakes and famines and signs in the sky and the stars and all that stuff. That's the earth groaning for sons to manifest.
Yeah.
So the earth is not groaning for Jesus to come back. The earth is groaning for us to do our job so that Jesus will come back. When the bride makes her ready, then Jesus will come back. So all the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the hurricanes, the volcanoes, all that natural disaster going on is just the earth crying for us to look like Jesus.
When
Stan was talking about the manifestation of the Son of God, for something to manifest means it comes out of the supernatural into the natural. And so we should be supernaturally in the natural, just wrecking everything around us, coming light to a dark world. And so that's one of the things, you know, that was coming to my mind a little bit earlier. And one other thing, I can't remember what was said, but I think it was you, Stan, was talking about how people listen to, let's call it false doctrine, where people are teaching about, let's just get rich, let's live the American dream. The American dream is not the God dream. The God dream is the planet wrecked with the glory of God.
Come on.
The scripture came to me when Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice, and the stranger's voice they will not follow.
Uh-huh.
And the pressure that needs to be put on the body of Christ right now, churchgoers, people who are claiming salvation, all that stuff is if you're in your word, if you're fasting and you're praying and you're reading, when somebody just preaches a doctrine, it may have some biblical foundation to it, but they're going off on this tangent to give you this, you can be rich or you can be happy all the time, which I'm happy all the time. That's joy. It's not really happiness. Different sermons. But, you know, we've got to be founded in the word and in prayer and in fasting on a constant basis, because God's voice becomes so clear in that moment. We can literally hear the shepherd. That's why there's a real pressure on the prophetic right now. There's a lot of prophetic schools out there and schools of supernatural ministry that are putting pressure on hearing the voice of God. That's a manifestation of the sons of God, and hearing our Father and hearing the shepherd, so that we can just bring people into the kingdom, man, because if the earth is growing for sons to manifest, we need to be manifesting so people can be getting brought into the kingdom. Even people who have been sitting in church for 45 years and their mama put the begonias out in the front, you know, in the front flower bed, and daddy paid for the handicap parking spot and all that stuff. We got to get people focused on the heart of God, which is people. Because I said it this weekend in the conference, that if you can walk into Walmart and go about your business and check out and never worry about the people around you that are going to hell. You probably passed 100 people going to hell and you don't care, then you really don't know God. You know a form of God, but you don't really know God, because his heart is to wreck everybody in our path. So that's just kind of the stuff that was rumbling around in my head. These signs in the sky and everything is really for us to get our butts in gear and let's go do it, man. Let's just become the son of God that the earth's groaning for.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Amen.
That's some shouting words right there.
Boy. Yeah, yeah.
I believe
that's exactly. That's exactly the Father's heart. You know what? I read this week, and I mentioned it a few minutes ago, in Galatians chapter 1, something sounded off in me Monday. I was just listening to the Bible over and over in the book of Galatians, and I heard verse 16 where it says, to reveal his son in me. It prompted me. I was up at 1 a.m. at Tuesday a.m. hearing the Holy Ghost say, to reveal the son in me. So I got up that morning and at 2 o'clock and I started to study. And over in verse number 12, Paul said, verse 11 and 12, it says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, Paul talking about the authenticity of the message of grace and truth that he was preaching. He says, the authenticity, I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Man, did you hear that? He said, it's not after man. Neither I received it of a man, neither was I taught it, but by, here it is, revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul got the revelation that I'm talking about. John got. Paul got the revelation, the same revelation that Peter had for a brief moment when he walked on water. He saw Jesus. He heard that word, and he stepped out of the boat, and he walked on the water. Paul got that revelation, and Paul said, by the revelation of Jesus Christ, I'm preaching the gospel, the message of grace and truth. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what Father is trying to do in the lives of his people, how he's trying to reach and approach mankind today. And then over in verse 16, he says, to reveal his son in me. He from his mother's womb was called by grace. We, from our mother's womb, were called by grace to reveal that we are sons, to reveal Jesus in us, the revelation that we have of him. We are called by God, by his grace, to live that demonstration, that revelation before men and draw them to Father, to draw them, to make them jealous of what they see in us and want what they see. Just like you just said, brother, everything in creation is moaning, is groaning for the manifestation of the Son of God. They want to see the sons to rise up and to rule this earth the way Father created us to, for that purpose, to see himself. Hey, go ahead.
Robert, this is stirring on my heart. It's 1 Corinthians 2. And it says, in my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but with demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So that's just confirming that, you know, you're children of God, and you're walking with the Lord. You're the manifest. The Father manifests the kingdom, manifests your sonship to the world. You know,
and hallelujah.
And if you're not, then you ought to be pressing into the Lord and seeking the Lord about why, Lord, am I not having this stuff happen to me? Get hungry, you know, or start you're to start revealing Christ to the world, you know, and the only way you're going to do that is for him to be very real to you. If he's not real to you, if he's just a story to you, then you need to go a little deeper than you are.
Yeah, that's right.
You, you need a personal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
For sure. I was reminded of something I heard Dan Moeller say over the weekend, which is God reveals Christ to us so he can reveal Christ through us. And that's just what he was reading when he was reading that scripture. We get the revelation of Jesus so we can give it. And that's what church is all about.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Amen.
But yeah, that's one of the biggest things is, you know, really study Christ, not just take it as a story, but have a relationship with him and his walk, how he walked out his life, what he did in his life, how he loved people, how he cared no matter what they are. He still loved them no matter what, even though the Pharisees, you know, they threw, you know, if they wasn't a certain type of holy people, they throw them to the streets like dogs. But Jesus still loved these people no matter what. And we're supposed to be doing the same thing. We see homeless people, love them, feed them, do what you can, but show them the love of Christ to people. Show the love of Christ to your neighbor. Just try the best you can. You will have days that you fail. You'll have days that you fail, but, you know, pick yourself up and try to do better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not expecting all this to be, you know, full. I mean, we're slowly turning into Christ, but we're going to fall at times. I mean, we're going to do that, but try to walk that walk out. And he was the very first one to do that, did that. Look at his walk. Look at what he did. Learn from his story. If you got to read all the Gospels, read all the Gospels, whatever you feel drawn to, just watch his walk, what he did, because he's the one that's going to be showing you. His Spirit is the one that's going to be transforming you. It's all about Jesus, man. It's all about Jesus.
Uh-huh.
It's all
Amen.
About Jesus. And and if you ain't all about Jesus, you got problems. So just watch his walk, and I'm positive the more you start reflecting him, the more you'll start looking like him, the more the Holy Spirit will start guiding you like the Holy Spirit was in him guiding. I mean, you're going to see how that walk is, and that's what he wants us to do. To manifest the sons of God, we've got to look like him.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be walking as sons of God and walking like hell, too. We can't. We can't.
No.
You ain't manifesting sons of God. So, you know, you go watch his walk. And sooner or later, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to transform you to that type of lifestyle, to the way you love people, the way Christ loved people. He's going to change you into his son. God's going to change you into his son.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're all wanting to manifest. That's what we're all manifesting. The more you walk in that walk, the more you're going to start manifesting the miracles and the things that Jesus did. But you've got to fall in love with the Father. You've got to fall in love with Jesus. When you fall in that love, you ain't going to have the fear that you're going to be gripping yourself and running from God. You're going to have that fear that you don't want to fall away from God. You don't want his presence to fall off of you because you're scared because you love him so much. He's going to be your beloved. You want to stay with him at all times. You don't want to fall away from him. That's the type of love you need for him. And then you'll start changing and start manifesting and you know, signs, miracles. And that ain't all that what we're looking for. We're looking for the pureness that's going to start turning within inside of you. You're going to start changing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people thought the manifestations of God is all miracles. No, that's not it. It's the changing of your heart and how you see things. It's the changing of your heart and how you see things.
Hey, Stan,
what
you just said right there can be summed up in this. Father's not interested in a miracle except you and I are walking as a son. That's the miracle that Father is interested in. As we walk as his sons in the earth, our Heavenly Father is looking down at this earth, and he sees what he created to inhabit this earth in Genesis, in the beginning. Sons of God populating the earth, sons of God going about multiplying, duplicating what Father originally planned. What Adam failed at, Jesus reestablished, has restored, redeemed, revived. He's done it all. And like you said, we have to focus on him because in him is our true identity. when we see him, we see ourselves. That is what the Father is trying to get us to focus on. Focus on the Son. No man can get to the Father unless he focuses on the Son. No man can get to the Father unless he comes through the door. If we focus on the Son, focus on the shepherd's voice, listen to what the shepherd's saying, go through that door, the only way to the Father, and recognize that's the mystery that's been hidden since the foundation of the world, that we were created to live that way, to be that way, to be Father's image and reflection in this physical earth. So when he looks down here and he sees himself, he is pleased. His heart's overwhelmed because he sees his own likeness. He sees his own image. That's getting the revelation of Jesus, knowing that Father is looking for himself. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's awesome.
Praise offer. Amen.
That's awesome. This has been a good night. We've got to really teach the Word of God. We got to give our views of this subject, and I'm sure it's touched many different areas in this topic, and it's amazing to see these amazing things happen here on Earth. And seeing that these times are coming, I mean, we see it. We don't know the time, but we do see the signs that it says in the Word. And it's very clear. And it's more clear now than it's ever been that I know of. And I think the whole Christian body has really, you know, agreed with this, that we're all seeing this stuff coming to pass. And, you know, it's very, very exciting for the body of Christ for this to become the past. But we're going to go ahead and close the show down for tonight. And this has been a very awesome show. Thank you guys for coming on the show and talking about this topic. Thanks for coming in on the show, Chuck.
Well, I'm glad. Appreciate it.
It's been an awesome show tonight. Thank you, Chris.
It's always a lot of fun, man, to hang out with you guys.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Robert.
Yes.
As always.
Always an honor.
It's been an awesome night, and I really hope this show touches each and every person that actually listens to it. And at this time, I really like to talk about the Healing Lot Conference is coming in July. It's July the 11th. It's actually going to be at the Marketplace Church off of 127. It's going to be at 5 p.m. till about 10. We're going to have four speakers. We're going to have Chuck McDonald. We're going to have Jacob Phillips. We're going to have Heath Adams. Heath Adams is going to be the guest speaker. And we're going to have Robert Hager, yours truly, here on here tonight. And we're all going to be teaching the Word of God. We're going to have healing lines. We're going to see amazing miracles happen. We're just expecting some amazing things to happen at this conference. Just come expecting a touch from the Lord. And I'm sure he's going to change your life. You're going to see things going on in your life that you never have before with, you know, just things changing. And if you got anybody that needs to be healed, bring them to the conference. I guarantee the Lord's going to touch them. But
Amen.
It's going to be an amazing conference, and we're all looking forward.
Yes.
I know Chuck, are you excited about the conference?
Dude, I'm getting jacked up the closer it gets. I get excited. I'm just a little bit excited. Like, last weekend was a different conference, and there was 15 people in my section, and five of them got radically healed, 100%. No pain, no nothing. So I'm getting very excited because God is manifesting himself.
Amen. You're pretty excited, Robert.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm very excited. I've been talking to folks all for the past couple months about just coming and intending, being prepared and expecting God to move mightily in their midst. I know it's going to be a great event, and it's going to kick off some awesome things leading into what God is about to do in this last day. I see it. We're getting ready to do some great things for our Father in this last day.
Amen.
This is kicking it off. Amen.
Amen. It's just great that the Lord's really touching people. I know Chris, he was wanting to come, but I think he's going to be at a wedding at that time. He had other arrangements, so maybe the next conference we have him come up, you know, Chris will be there, and you get to meet him too. Not only hear his voice, but meet him would be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Oh, I'll be sewing into it in prayer for sure.
Amen. Just stay in prayer for us. It'd be awesome. But it's some amazing things that's happened. We've got some other conferences in mind that is going to be coming pretty soon. We've got a lot of things, you know, going around with the Healing Light Show now. We've got so many different things that's bringing this ministry together. We're looking at a nonprofit ministry. It turns into a nonprofit. It's in the works. I don't know how long it's going to be, but it's in the works. And we're trying to get this thing going and trying to get a lot of things put together here where we can go to meet different other routes in this ministry. And we're really, really wanting to get this going. And, you know, this ministry is planning to expand in many different avenues. It could be TV. It could be, you know, YouTube. It could be anything. So we've got a lot of things in the background. It's coming together, and we're all working on it, and it's going to be very amazing. But at this time, I'm going to say good night to everybody that's listening. God bless you, and may the Lord touch each and every one of y'all. And y'all have a great night.
Good night.
We have raised 1,000 voices just to lift your holy name. And we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. When none can even fathom, no, not one define your worth. As we marvel in your presence, we have raised a thousand voices just to lift your holy name. And we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. When none can even fathom, no, not one define your worth. As we marvel in your presence, there is nothing.